OTM Echo to OTM Bravo, do you copy? Over.
This is David here. Can I help you?
OTF Bravo, we are feet wet. Repeat, we are feet wet.
Okay, I get that I'm OTF Bravo, but it's dry here. Over?
OTF Bravo, we are no longer on the defensive. Repeat, consolidate and counterattack. Confirm, over.
Attack? Who? How? With what?
OTF Bravo, transmission garbled. Confirm readiness, over.
I'm ready. Well, I guess it depends on what you want me ready for.
Bravo confirms readiness. Repeat, Bravo confirms readiness. Prepare to engage on my mark. Over.
Engage what? How?
OTF Bravo, you are clear to engage. I repeat, you are clear to engage. Over.
Okay, so I engage, and that means what?
Bravo, it is time to take the dog for a walk. Do you copy? Over.
Fuck? I don't have a dog. What are you saying?
Okay, I mean start the podcast, you moron.
Oh. Well, solid. Copy?
Yeah, fuck you.
Asshole.
On this month's Over the Fence, George Lucas says he's retiring. We doubt it. Sopa's defeat means sour grapes for one Viacom exec. Mega Upload shut down ends piracy for about 3 seconds. Lego influences Minecraft, which influences Lego Mindception. Notch is going to fund a Psychonauts 2. All that and much, much more on Over the Fence for February 2012.
Welcome to Over the Fence, a podcast for adventuring gamers to discuss the worlds of gaming, entertainment, and technology. In corner number one is Patrick.
Hoo, 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 hoo.
Corner number two, we have Jonathan.
Welcome to the festivities.
And destroying the concessions in the back is Dalkin.
Popcorn.
I am Chris, the new... Oh, fuck. God, I knew I should have written that part out.
No, he's actually the new fuck, is what he is.
Yeah, okay.
He's the team whore. Oh, Chris, we're going to have so much fun, you and I.
I don't know if I should say that. I don't know.
Replacing Chad. I mean, I'm sorry.
Wait, I thought I was supposed to be the team whore.
That's right.
Well, that's the new fuck up.
Been replaced. God. Anyway.
So, talking about fuck-ups, George Lucas says he's going to retire.
I don't think that's a fuck-up. I think that's a good thing.
Well, I mean that, you know, his career may be sort of...
Well, yeah. Yeah, his career could definitely be considered a fuck-up, at least, you know, after.
So, let's kind of take stock here. I mean, I don't know... I mean, didn't, like, the prequels make a whole lot of money? I mean, all critical... assessments aside, didn't they make a lot of money?
I mean, they did, but that's because he strung us along for 3 movies.
Okay, so he like came up with a new movie, The Red Tails, whatever, and like he couldn't even get all the studio execs to show up for the screening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Like, so they must think that, you know, his golden goose has laid his last egg.
I think it's rather that he couldn't draw the audience because it wasn't Star Wars or it wasn't Indiana Jones.
That is entirely true of me. I mean, I have no interest in the movie, but...
I wasn't really interested in it either.
Incidentally, opened January 20th, and the only reason it did is because Lucas paid for everything.
Out of pocket.
Yeah, so based on this, he's like, I quit. I'm taking my ball and going home, he says.
You know, I think I'm going to see it. I think I'll see it.
No, why?
You know, it's different. It's something that he's not done before. And it's his own IP, which, you know, it's not a Howard the Duck.
Chris, it's not his own IP because those are based on historical events, so I wouldn't really call that intellectual property.
You're right. It's not even... The IP is not applicable. Regardless, it's not Howard the Duck. It's not Star Wars. It's not Indiana Jones.
Now, I don't know if it would be bad. It just doesn't catch my interest enough to want to go see it.
So on a completely random note, I have a fun fact about George Lucas.
Oh.
One of his kids, who all of which happened to be adopted, which I found interesting. The boy Jet. Well, that could be possible. The boy Jet, who is now actually quite a bit taller than George Lucas, was the last Jedi Padawan to be killed in Episode 3.
I remember that scene. Mm.
The one in front of the senator, that was his
Yeah, that was... he's in front of Jimmy Smits, and Jimmy Smits is like, no!
I had no idea that was his kid. I guess George Lucas is actually...
Sorry, I'm... I've got
I guess George Lucas has been in all three of the prequels somewhere. I didn't get that part, but anyway, I thought that was a fun fact.
Intriguing.
I wondered if any of his kids got into like show business, and so I just looked it up. I'm like, oh, he did, in fact, turns out.
Well, there you go.
I wouldn't really call that show business. I mean, that's more like, hey, do you want a part in the movie? Go put on a Jedi costume. Like, because his daughter was also in the movie in, like, a deleted scene, and she's fucking terrible. Like, it's painful. Like, that's why the scenes were deleted, because she's so fucking bad.
Okay, so, talking about brand new IPs and IP conflicts, the Viacom chief is disappointed about the quote-unquote mob mentality that defeated SOPA. Now, as a little bit of an aside, we see a lot of the MPAA and movie executives making noise about this now, about, you know, how essentially they're saying that it did this, that it did that, and whatever. And if you find articles on it, the more you find they say, the more you'll find they completely contradict what the actual law was trying to do. So, like, nobody knew what was really going on except the people who were trying to defeat it, which is kind of funny, actually.
Yeah.
So this guy talks about there being, like, misinformation about SOPA. I was like, I don't really think so. See, the problem is, like, you don't understand, like, our laws have been twisted in many different cases, especially in technology situations. When people are getting arrested and given jail time for wiretapping, for picking up free wireless signal off of Starbucks in the parking lot with their Starbucks coffee, you know, that's not wiretapping. So you see, like, any law that has even the slightest opening to be reinterpreted could have been a problem, which is why SOPA was so dangerous.
Yes, it was just the wording was so bad, so open-ended, that there was a lot of trouble that was associated with how it could be used, especially considering that the jail time that is associated with it was longer than the minimum for murder. The minimum for you know, breaking basically uploading pirated material was longer than ending another person's life.
Which tells you the focus of the movie industry. And the funny thing is the Pirate Bay points out a fun fact that the movie industry was founded on piracy. They moved to California so that they could not have the law enforced about using the video technology that, Edison invented? They were just going to use it and not pay him any licensing or rights for it. And that's why Hollywood exists on the West Coast.
That's funny.
Cool. So in essence, it's like they're trying to bite the hand that fed them in the first place. Yeah. So this guy was quoted
kind of
saying...
A funny quote I saw on Facebook, too, was... I'll start feeling bad about piracy when they stop showing MTV Cribs.
Yeah.
I don't even.
Here's my giant house that I made with all my. Oh, I don't have enough money. Well.
Gotcha. I had a similar point of view with when they were talking about all the CEOs not making enough money, blah 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 blah, and then turns out like the disparity between CEOs and like people making like normal wages peaked at like 420 some odd times back in like 2005. And furthermore, the closest to us is Venezuela at 80 times. So, any case, the quote that this guy, the fun part I think is he says, I think the bill would have been very reasonable. Yeah. I think what he meant by that is that, you know, the bill would have served his interests well. I don't think it very reasonable was in the factor at all.
Reasonable versus what worked for him, two different things.
I don't know about how bad music piracy might be or might not be at the moment, but I know from my own family and friends that a lot of us, now that we can get non-DRM protected iTunes tracks and MP3s from Amazon, that we really don't go anywhere else for that stuff.
Yeah.
You give me a convenient way to obtain content. It doesn't come with viruses, and we're going to jump all over it.
Well, I think what's also funny, too, is when they start spewing these figures of how much money they're, quote-unquote, losing over file sharing.
Oh, they assume, like, each one of them is going to be a sale.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, just because something is downloaded doesn't mean that if someone had to pay for it, they would have otherwise actually bothered getting it at all. So,
Christopher, are you being quiet because you're a pirate?
Rather, I'm being quiet because I'm thinking about a statement I think you made it earlier, is that viewing pirates as an underserved customer.
Yes, that's a quote lifted from Gabe of Valve fan.
Yeah. I think that's still applicable, even though that was probably in the context of video game piracy. Even in terms of music, I think that's still there. It's illustrated by your point with iTunes and Amazon MP3s and just the accessibility of it, DRM-free, you know, it's yours. You can take it now. You have no reason to go anywhere else for it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I mean, it just makes, if I need music, I just go right into iTunes. I know that possibly it might be cheaper sometimes if I go to Amazon, but the fact that I can just, like, because I'm running OS X, so iTunes is pretty much built into the, you know. So I just load this thing up, and then the library is right there.
Oh, see,
iTunes is really easy. And then
same with Steam. It's the same with Steam. That's why I will never go back to buying things in a box, ever.
Yeah. The only reason I'm going back to buying things in a box is I'm going to be buying Mass Effect 3 at retail, because I don't want to buy it through Origin. Yes, I still have to register it through Origin, but I do not want to buy it through Origin. So.
Well, there's still a way to get it. If you want to go digital, Amazon will be selling it.
Really?
Yeah, Amazon actually sells downloadable games. I don't know if you knew that.
That's good to know.
Interesting.
And the Direct2Drive, which is now Gamefly, also sells them.
Wait, Direct2Drive became Gamefly?
Yep.
Yeah.
But is Amazon going to be offering Mass Effect 3, or is EA going to be shutting them out of that like they did Steam?
No, the only one they're shutting out is Steam. That's because EA wants to be the person who distributes their DLC to you, and Valve has decreed through Steam, if it's on Steam, so shall your DLC be.
Mm.
And I agree with that approach. All the Borderlands DLC was very easy and comfortable to get, all the DLC for Just Cause 2. Anything I've ever picked up, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, when I eventually get those DLC, all easy. You purchase it, and next thing you know, it's part of your game. You know, after the download, of course.
Just getting us back on topic, we were talking about piracy.
Can I say one thing about one of the things that really enraged me about the entire process with SOPA when it went down was the way Lamar Smith, who was the politician that founded the bill, acted during the whole process. Like, rather than ever admit that maybe he had, you know, underestimated certain aspects, or maybe he had, you know, didn't understand what, like, he just remained the whole, even when he announced that he was resigning, he didn't say it's like, you know, clearly I've, you know, underestimated the way this works, or, you know, he just said, due to the, you know, past events, you know, we're gonna postpone this bill. I still hope it'll work sometime in the future. It's like, he doesn't he won't even admit that, like, he made a mistake, and I just find that so offensive, you know?
I used to watch a show called West Wing, and when you start seeing, like, that perspective of politics, you understand they can't just backpedal like that. They just can't. Because if they do a 180 on their constituents, they're constituents will do a 180 on them. So that's politics. And
but I almost feel like that if they were to, like, admit that they made a mistake, then that would make them more likable rather than just, you know.
No. It's sort of like that picture that says, you know, if I have a 9% job rating, I get fucking fired. Well, too bad we can't do that.
Yeah.
Which is to say that's the job rating of Congress.
No, yeah, that's really, really just fed up with. I don't want this to become a political debate. This is, over the fence, a gaming and entertainment podcast, so.
Well, we have a little bit more on the piracy, though. So we shut down Mega Upload, which is not the core claimed principle is piracy, but some of the charges were a little bit beyond that.
Yeah.
But obviously they just, you know, reached into the throat of piracy and yanked out the jugular, and piracy fell to the ground dead, right?
No.
I love that they think they understand how this works. It's really adorable. It's just adorable. Like, you will... Okay, Congress, government, if any of you people are listening to this, you will never understand the internet. Stop trying. You can't. Like, you can't... It just doesn't work like
no,
that.
No, I don't think it's that they're trying. I think that's the problem. There are a bunch of old farts that think they already understand the internet, and they don't.
A series of tubes.
Yeah. And you can't just put a dump truck on it. Incidentally, the guy who said that, dead.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, Mega Upload is down. And like the Hydra, we cut off one head and two more spring up. And this article quotes that there was a bit of a drop, like a 2 to 3% drop in bandwidth consumption due to piracy. 2 to 3%. Wow. Amazing change. And then people have gone to other sharing sites, like RapidShare and MediaFire. So, you know, it's kind of like when Napster went down, Kazaa and Morpheus popped up to fill the void.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make that sound like I'm thinking the piracy should be there, but there are certain things that you can't get legitimately. And sometimes you have to use piracy to do so. As an example, I want the Just Cause 2 soundtrack, and it was on Mega Upload. Uploaded by Eidos. It was a legitimate file.
Well,
now I can't get
it. Basic, sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. I was just going to say it's the basic premise of capitalism. Even if it's not legal capitalism, if there's going to be a demand, there will be a supply, whether it's legal or not.
Yeah.
But that's also like with torrents, for instance. A lot of people, like people who do sort of just community projects, will often release those projects via torrents. But the problem is a lot of ISPs, like specifically...
We'll throttle that.
Specifically this campus, the campus that I'm on right now, they see that if you're downloading any torrent, they assume you're pirating and you get fined.
That's
and it's not cool.
Crap.
It's not because that's legal if it's something that is being... Like, that's the distributor, is the torrent.
I have even more fun news for you. My friend who has Cox Internet... In Arizona.
Cox Internet? I'm sorry, what?
COX. Let's save the joke because it gets even better. Talking about penetration, I mean. He downloaded some TV show or movie, some torrent or something, and Cox sent him... They blocked his internet, and they sent him a notice saying, you need to delete this file. Not only did they say delete this file, they knew exactly where on his hard drive it was.
That's
like
fucked up.
The sector?
Like the file path inside of Windows. C:\user.
Well, I guess if they could see where it got downloaded too, I guess that makes sense. But
so he's, you know, flipped them a bird. He's got a Linux machine up and running, and they don't seem to be noticing those files downloads. So whatever they managed to do to track files on his computer, which I would be the first person as a technology person to figure out how they're doing it and stop
yes.
it. But he doesn't. His solution was to use Linux. And I was like, okay, that's sort of like, you know, somebody's keyed my car, so I'm going to drive a piece of shit.
Yeah.
No. I drive the Camaro. Anyway, so moving forward, I hate points, and I mean Microsoft Xbox Live points. Having to buy a certain chunk of points to buy games on Xbox Live or any services or content you might want on there.
Points are pointless.
It's such a dumb system. If you're already putting like money in, then why do you have to then put the money in and then spend? Like, why not just do it directly?
Because then get you to spend extra money that then if you want to use that extra money, then you have to buy even more points. So that it's an endless cycle.
I also think that like they have the temerity to have you pay for online access. But aside from the online access, I think this should be bonus. Like, you know, like if there's like content like shirts or whatever for your stupid little avatar that they make you make, I think that you should get like free points to buy shit for that. You know, every month that you pay. But in any case, Microsoft is finally doing away with the points.
Yay.
Thank God.
They're going to go to the straight money route, which is probably a precedent set by, like, you know, if you buy stuff on PlayStation Network on the PlayStation, or if you buy stuff on the iTunes
Steam.
Or on your iOS devices, Steam. Mm-hmm. But another important place I was thinking of is the Android marketplace. You're all paying with, like, you know, a certain amount of currency.
You're paying with
a specific
money,
price.
Not this dumb represent.
Yeah, so, and people were complaining about points from the very moment they were implemented. You know, how do you, you know, use them all up and blah, 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 blah. And so Microsoft is ditching it, and this is going to affect the Windows Phone, the Zune Marketplace, and Xbox Live. But what's important about this is the Zune Marketplace is really soon to not exist. I mean, as the place and the content will exist, the name will change. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about calling it all Xbox Live. I don't think that that's actually where they're going to go because I think everyone kind of associates Xbox with gaming, and I don't think they want to be buying videos on Xbox on their phone. I don't see that correlation working well for some people. So Microsoft has had been doing this for a while. Like, if you buy games on demand on the Xbox, they were charging a dollar price. So thoughts, opinions?
It's good. I think I still have leftover points on the Zune marketplace.
You have a Zune.
I used to. That was like years ago before I got my iPod, but actually it's probably still sitting around here somewhere, but it's like a little dinky 8 gigabyte, like,
I remember
super
the brown
tiny screen.
Zoom.
I didn't even,
you remember the brown one?
I don't. I had a black one. I didn't even know they had a brown one.
The first ones they came out, I think they had like gray and brown. I was like, why what? Brown? It's like, it's technology. Technology isn't brown. But,
technology from like maybe the 70s was brown.
It was brown because it was made out of friggin' wood. But I saw at Target, I saw them next to each other in the display case, and I saw somebody walk up and point at the brown one and say, oh, that's the iPod. And I'm like, the one on the left says the iPod, that's the Zune, that's not the same thing. And I said, I wonder how many people bought Zunes thinking they were buying iPods. And
that must have happened,
How many kids ruined Christmases there were.
That reminds me, there's an episode, you can cut this out in the final recording if you want. There was an episode of Doctor Who.
No, he's not going to.
In the first season. And the joke is that it's because, like, the distant future and, like, they got history wrong. But she pulls out, like, an old-style jukebox. And she says, this is called an iPod.
Oh, my God.
On this device, they used to listen to classical music. And then she plays, like, Britney Spears.
Oh, God.
That was fantastic. I remember seeing that one. Because I thought it was also funny, too, because she thought she was beautiful because she was literally a piece of skin stretched out, like, on a board. Like, that was just all she was. It was just, like, a wafer of paper because that was the beautification of humankind at that point was just
The last Earth human, yes. Anyway.
So now we have a topic that David supplied, Lego partially influences Minecraft, and then Minecraft inspires Legos.
Yeah, I think some people...
Now, is this an official release? Is there definitely like a Minecraft package, or is it just somebody made a Minecraft?
No, they're really making this. They're developing several sets.
Yeah, there's this pitching process where apparently there's the Lego Kusu site, and pitches that pick up more than 10,000 visitor votes are then passed on to the designers and decision makers at Lego for a closer look. I'm quoting the article there.
Minecraft. Do you think it's kind of whore-like that Lego kind of piggybacks on everything?
Legos are fun, and you know, I like Star Wars Legos and stuff like that. I can get behind. The only thing about Minecraft Legos is, Minecraft is already a block world, so I'm not really sure how they're gonna make Minecraft specific Legos, except for making stuff like creepers and stuff. Everything else seems like it's just gonna be regular Lego blocks.
See, I've never played Minecraft because it doesn't appeal to me on any level. And every time I find out about, or I see a picture or a video, someone said, I built this in Minecraft. And I'm like, God, I so don't fucking care. Sorry if that seems entirely apathetic, but that's just my appraisal of that.
Yeah, you know, it's a sandbox game, and sandbox games are not going to be for everybody. But, yeah, just as far as the way that Minecraft Legos are going to work, the only way, like, I honestly think this is going to be one of their cheapest lines that they're going to be releasing, because I don't think that they're going to be having to do many, if at all, any new custom molds.
Oh, yeah, no special pieces. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
The only thing that I can see them doing, maybe, is custom painted pieces. But even then, you know, having, like, the dirt blocks with the grass on them, they could do that, or they could just have a brown block with one of those thin green pieces on top of it, and it would have the same effect.
So, Christopher, have you dabbled in the Minecraft world?
I have not. I have a lot of friends who play Minecraft. However, I am not one of them.
Okay. And what is your opinion of it? Why have you not dabbled?
In Minecraft?
Yes.
I usually forget about it. Like, that's most. That's usually the reason why I don't do a lot of things, is, oh, shit, I forgot about it. And even sitting here right now talking about Minecraft, though, I don't have this huge urge to go grab it myself. It's just, I don't know. I enjoy the idea, but I wouldn't say that it's something that I look at and think I must have this, you know?
I got it because at the time I was able to get it for like $10 because I got the alpha order, and it helps me pass the time when there's nothing else I want to do. It's a sandbox game, so I mean you can just futz around and do pretty much whatever the heck you want to do. Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a kid growing up in the 90s, like Legos, I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for Legos, and just as a creative outlet,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the same thing for me, too. And that's kind of why I like Minecraft, because it's basically a Legos video game. I mean, that's not what its primary inspiration was.
Yeah, but that's definitely the function it's serving.
But, yeah, it's definitely the function it serves. It's you know, the gaming version of Tinker Toy.
Yay.
Now, when they come out with Lego Assassin's Creed, I'll be all over that shit.
That would be awesome. But,
so, I want to skip one topic here, just because I think this ties in tightly here. Notch is going to fund Psychonauts 2. Who's Notch again?
Notch is the creator of Minecraft.
Woo. Yeah, so we should have had those two together. I should have caught that in pre-show.
Huh.
So the guy, who is it, Tim Schafer?
Yes.
Who is complaining, well, like, you know, I would totally do a Psychonauts 2, but none of the publishers are biting.
Nobody wants to support it, and then Notch tweets him, and he's like, hey, I would.
Let's
and then people thought he was joking, and then somebody tweeted Notch, and he's like, hey, are you serious? And he's like, no, yeah, I'll put money down for this. So
what I'm thinking, though, is, like, wasn't his words like, you know, well, let's make this happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, let's make this happen.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty interesting. And as a tight relation to that is this bit of news that Patrick's going to share.
Oh, I have to share it? Okay, well, the funny thing is that not like a day or two later, Tim Schafer announced that he wants to do this new project. He says he wants to do an adventure game, you know, in the style of an old-style adventure game, but that, you know, no publisher wants to fund it, similar to his complaint about Psychonauts 2, which leads me to believe it might be the same thing, but, you know, hush, hush, who knows?
I don't think so, because they were talking about point-and-click adventure, which Psychonauts 2 isn't.
But, so they decide to fund it over Kickstarter, and they say, all right, we need like $40,000 to do this, $30,000 so that we can make the game, and another $10,000 so that we can make a documentary while we're making it.
It's $300,000?
No, right, sorry, I meant, wait, no, I think it's just $40,000.
The two numbers were $100,000 and $300,000.
Okay, then it's $300,000 to make the game, and then $100,000 to film a little documentary about it, because they want to like film their whole process doing it, and then like release, like, I think they said every couple of weeks, like a chapter, like just to like say, show behind the scenes. Like, they want the fans to sort of be invested in the whole process of doing it. So they ask for, but they ask for that donation. They say, okay, so it all comes like to $400,000, and you know, we really want any donations we can.
So they just kind of
so. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's kind of smart because, you know, doing that, keeping that investment, it kind of keeps up the hype along the way. so that people, mm-hmm. you know, don't just forget about it and doesn't just poop.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry, but I mean, absolutely. I mean, it was great to see. But the community reaction was even more shocking, and honestly gives me hope for gamers in the future, because within 8 hours they made all of their money. They thought they were going to have to need until March 13th. They made all of it in 8 hours, and then it kept going. As of this recording, the current amount of money that this has made, keep in mind, the original goal was 400,000. They have $1,477,016. That's almost 1,500, which, as John was saying, was the budget for Gears of War 3, I think, right?
So, no, I was talking about the first one, Gears of War.
I mean, but 1.5 mil was the budget for Gears of War, and they are there. They're at that amount. Like, they have a full budget.
And they were saying something like it takes, like, you know, 10 million to, like, you know, develop and market games. So I'm just curious how that's going to fly or what it's going to do. And I don't know. Just there's so many factors in today's game development world and so much information.
Well, I think as far as factoring marketing for a game like that, you know, you're talking about like a $10 million cost. I think that's also talking about TV spots, that kind of thing, because TV spots are damn expensive.
How expensive?
Damn expensive.
Damn expensive.
Damn
that's expensive. So, is that all we need to say on that?
I guess.
Speaking of things that we hate, I hate Origin.
Oh my god.
Hate it.
Origin is the stuff.
If Origin were a person, I would sneak into Origin's house and stab it in the throat and then sit there and laugh while it chokes to death on its own blood.
Oh, I like that comment that you dredged up. That was hilarious.
Yes, so EA is claiming Origin is now at 9.3 million users, which is about a quarter of that of Steam. So they're like, oh, we just started and look, we've got a quarter of the users of Steam.
I don't buy it.
Except there's some creative math involved. If you have any logins to EA, which of course you're forced to have because you need to log in to enable your games, so it's not like, you know, EA it doesn't have anybody, you know, jumping on board willingly. They're forcing it. The all EA logins of any sort have been repurposed as Origin logins.
Yeah,
and so
the funny thing is that I have two, because I had one from when I registered Spore, and then I have one from BioWare from when I was from my Mass Effect stuff. So I now have two different Origin accounts.
So not only do they maybe not have 9.3 million users, they're counting some users twice.
Yes.
And as David mentioned, the best quote I found on the article, I believe this was on Kotaku. The most promoted comment was, Steam has 40 million users, Origin has 9.3 million hostages.
Yeah.
And that is exactly my point of view.
That's my sentiment exactly as well.
So if I can avoid Origin in the future, I shall.
I chose to use Steam. I do not choose to use Origin. I'm not going to use Origin except for registering Mass Effect 3, just because you know me, I have to finish a story, and I love the Mass Effect 3 story, so I just have to finish it with Mass Effect 3. But once I have that, then I'm going to be done with Origin, period.
Well, in any case, I remember being forced to use Steam with Half-Life 2 when it came out. But I actually found that rather convenient, because I didn't have to pre-order in a store. I could pre-order online and download it in advance, so I don't have to like download it when the game released. And actually, that's one of the best things about Steam, is a lot of games will preload, so you don't actually have to download it on the day of release. So the only problem is when you have to activate the preload, it can take a little while. But either way, at the time that Half-Life 2 came out, Steam was a problem because we all had single-core processors. And so the Steam minor communication to the network caused hiccups in the games. But now that I played Half-Life 2 after our little protest weekend, I see that, you know, the games still hiccup even on today's hardware. So I'm not sure. Maybe Valve was just, you know, a little glitchy with their coding back then. Which brings up another fun point that I've learned lately. One of my friends brought this to my attention, and I think he's absolutely right. The game developers have been kind of dragged kicking and screaming into multi-core processing by this current generation of consoles, and by extension, PCs with dual quad-core processors have benefited in the games because the games are now optimized to work on this kind of code path. So, and I have noticed that a lot of the console ports, I mean, as clunky as people say they are, PC games were very clunky before. I mean, I remember having the highest-end hardware and being able to barely eke out 1024 by 768 in most of my games. So, and today I don't have the highest-end hardware because, you know, fuck, I don't have $4,000 to drop on a computer.
$4,000.
But anyway.
I wish I had $4,000 to drop on a computer.
If I had $4,000 to drop on a computer, I'd drop it on my credit card bill. So anyway, moving forward, Bethesda releases a PC-only high-res texture pack.
PC love!
And creation kit for Skyrim.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and
play Skyrim.
Although I'm sure that you think that the fact that it's PC-only is interesting, but I think the interesting part of this is the fact that, like, I don't recall any game company ever doing anything like this before. I think that the fact that they went the extra mile to provide their fans with, like, a high-res texture pack because they know that they wanted one is, like, shows that that's, like, really cool. And, like, it gives me a lot of respect for them. And I know some people are like, well, it's not as good as, you know, some of the fan ones. But, like, I still really think the effort is, like, good. I appreciate the effort.
Well,
you know?
No other company has done anything like this before.
Well, I don't know if
any company has released necessarily high-res pack specifically before. But as far as releasing free stuff for a game after it's been bought, plenty of companies have done that before. The most prominent example that comes to mind is Team Fortress 2.
Oh, well, yeah, that. But I'm just talking about the idea of, like, releasing a mod of this nature, like, this gives you better textures. Like, I just have never heard of anything like that before. Like, something specifically
I almost have the skeptic's view thinking, well, maybe this is the textures they started with, and they realized they couldn't get it running on the consoles.
Oh.
The
Why would you say that and put the seed of doubt into my head?
I'm sorry. My view of seeing things from a skeptical point of view.
The way John works.
It's definitely a good thing that they're doing this. It shows that they care as a company.
Yeah.
But earlier when we were talking, I did bring up that, yes, it's high definition, not as high def as some of the fan packs are going to be upcoming. The reason I say that, though, is because the reason why I will never play another Elder Scrolls game on a console is because when you play it on the computer, the fan community is so involved in the Elder Scrolls games that they
help transmogrify the experience.
Yes, they did. Yes, exactly.
it's one of the things about my friend sitting. He plays PlayStation 3, and he's starting to woo over to, like, you know, I think I like PC gaming better because it gives you so much more control. And even if you like the PlayStation 3 controller.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible to get it working on the PC and actually game with a gamepad if you really want that.
Although not as easy to do as the Xbox controller, for whatever reason.
Of course, I have the next best thing to having a PlayStation controller on my PC.
Well, but the thing is, though, I think that's because Sony wants to lock you into the PlayStation 3. Whereas Microsoft is kind of, you know, They've kind of brought a lot of PC gaming to fruition, even though in some places they've done an inappropriate game, in my opinion. So, which brings us to a very clever point here. Microsoft is bringing the Kinect to PC.
For $100 more.
Oh.
Now, Microsoft wasn't needed for this. This was happening without them.
Yeah.
but they brought an official product, which actually would work. Like, if I the way my desk is laid out, I could put a Kinect in the middle of it because it works from as close as 47 centimeters, I think it said.
50 centimeters.
50 centimeters. So that's a normal desktop spacing, I would say, unless you're sitting on, like, a super tiny desk. And it increases the price by $100. The closer proximity, of course, requires different lenses. So
that's probably why the price is different, yeah.
I figure they found out
more.
I don't know. I figure they found out about people, well, it was like, they were like, okay, people are hacking their Kinects to work on the PC. There's a market in that.
Yeah.
Well, how can we make money off of this?
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It's just the Kinect, is as laggy as it is actually a pretty impressive piece of tech. Especially because, you know, when people say, well, the PlayStation Move is so much more accurate, I'm like, well, so is the Wii, but the PlayStation Move is just the Wii on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know, so I think if people wanted a Wii, they would get a Wii, which case, you know, this brings something different. And it without buying extra controllers, you can add multiple people to the group.
Uh-huh. No, but, like, I really do. I like the Kinect. I don't like the Kinect for gaming, but I like the idea of the Kinect as, like, a thing. And I think it might be more useful for PC.
I like the Kinect for the silly games they do. do it with Ghost Recon and Mass Effect 3. I was like, no. The people who play these games have no interest in using the Kinect for this purpose. Mm-hmm. I can almost guarantee you.
No, but I mean, like, in my electronic music class that I'm taking, my electronic music class, our unit for this semester is based on interactive music. That, you know, half of it is done, you know, sort of hard coding program. And I'm thinking, and apparently people have done this before for their final projects last semester, or maybe last year, was, like, using a Kinect to do that.
Interesting.
So I might try to implement that, because it sounds like it'd be really interesting, you know. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. Probably won't happen, but, you know.
As far as core gamers not using Kinect, I agree with you for the most part. I could see them using it for the voice aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of core gamers use, like, Vent and stuff, just because voice is a really easy way to add another method of control as far as coordinating in groups, and that would translate well if it, you know, wasn't clunky to a game.
Well,
so,
one
like,
of the things featured
3,
for Kinect,
the voice commands to be able to tell your companions, do this.
I wonder if EA will take the time to add PC Kinect functionality into Mass Effect 3. I somehow doubt it.
It's EA. They're not, like, if they don't have to do something, they're not going to.
The thing is, though, it doesn't add any
like, I think it would be really cool, and I would get it if it wasn't $250.
Yep.
It's the same reason I don't have SLI on my computer and run another NVIDIA card for PhysX. I mean, there isn't a cost associated and not enough benefit to get from it.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
I'm hearing from people who actually do run PhysX, like one of the games that supposedly was so cranked up with the PhysX was Mirror's Edge, and they're saying they're still getting 4 frames per second even with the fixed PhysX dedicated hardware. I'm like, well, screw that then. You know, so it's a waste to do it in the first place.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay more than $20 just for that, just because, you know, it's not worth more than $20 for me just to get the Kinect support for Mass Effect 3, if they even added that for PC.
Now, I would pay extra money for a good sound card, but the problem is, the last time I did that, it only lasted me 2 years, and that kind of makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't mind paying extra money for, like, an X5 or whatever, and I would do it again, but if it's going to die right at the 2-year mark, well, I don't know if I want to do that.
Wait, I mean, but anyway. You don't want to get flimsy piece of crap hardware?
Oh, I intentionally buy things that last. Like my 24-inch monitor, you know, I just bought a second one, and they're ultra sharps. And to give you an example, like, all the ultra sharps I've ever bought are still running, just in different households at this point. Because I upgraded from the 20-inch 4x3 to the 20-inch widescreen, now the 24, just I've run out of people in the household who want monitors, and so one's just fallen off the end.
Mm.
Yeah, makes you kind of want to be in my family. So, keeping with the Xbox and the Microsoft point, our final topic here is that the Xbox 320 is rumored to not play used games.
You said the Xbox 320.
720, sorry.
Is that the official name, or is that just what people are guessing?
They don't know that's an official name. It's a guess. I'm guessing, since they leapfrogged over Xbox 2 to go to Xbox 360, I feel like they'll leapfrog over the 720 and go to 1080.
Really?
That's my that's my guess. Because I think the next devices should be capable of rendering native 1080p.
Right, yeah.
Mm.
That would be shiny.
So
doesn't the Xbox already do native 1080p?
No, the Xbox upscales to 1080p.
Oh.
Most games render at 720p. So most games render at like 640p or something like that. So in any case, it's rumored not to play used games, and this is because the developers and publishers who have been trying to incentivize you to buy new games are thinking that the used game market is killing the games market.
Which is bullshit, just saying.
I think that people buy used games because they want to save a buck on it, and so the thing is that the prices don't drop fast enough, or in some cases the prices are just too steep, which owes into the expensive licensing costs that these console manufacturers are tacking onto the games, and both Sony and Microsoft are doing it, so they're both on the same page, at least as far as licensing fees. But I'm willing to bet that if Microsoft does this no used game licensing restriction and Sony doesn't, that Sony's going to wipe the floor with the Xbox.
I just don't see this flying. I just don't see this flying.
Gamers are going to raise hell. They're going to hack their system so they can play used games. It's going to happen. I don't know how many times I've heard them, some gaming company saying, "We've put out this latest version. It cannot be hacked." A week later, sometimes even the next day, they're like, I hacked it. Here's how to do it.
Well, some protections do hold up for a period of time, mainly because of, criminal offenses. Just like there's people talk about the digital projection systems that are being used in movie theaters and how they use hard drives and they activate the day of, and just how protracted and how illegal a process you would have to go through to actually obtain the movie to distribute on the internet, that it's just not worth the risk. Mm. Yet somebody will figure out a way to like download the encrypted data and then decrypt it. I mean, it's not impossible, but anyway, moving forward, I just can't see this used thing happening. And I do understand the concept of, if you buy a used game, you're not putting any money to the developers. And if you like a developer, then I would prefer to buy a new game, even if it's for a discounted price, so that I'm actually putting money in the developer's pocket. But then here's the thing though. Any game you buy from the store is already paid for.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like it's more of a peace of mind for you. So I don't know. This point kind of cuts both ways. So I really don't think they're going to do it. But if they do, it'll be interesting to see how the next console generation shakes down.
If they do it, they're betting on the wrong horse. Because I just see that going all the way downhill.
Very yes.
And underneath the ground, and then underneath.
You guys don't know ATI video cards, do you?
Well, I mean,
of them.
Yeah.
I have never used ATI, as I can recall.
The
it's a German company, right?
ATI is Canadian.
Ooh, wrong side of the world.
Yeah, German company AMD
that's,
is.
That's
German.
The one.
AMD bought ATI. ATI is based in Canada. So, the last generation, or I guess two generations ago, of ATI mid-range cards were the 5850s. I bought one, didn't like the drivers, sent it back, and got myself a GeForce GTX 460. And I will forever rue the day that I let Nareem, or Nicholas, from Australia, talk me into getting a damn ATI, which I thought, nope, the drivers aren't good, and I was going to have problems, and lo and behold, I did. So anyway, they upgraded to the 6000 series. And the 6850, it actually performs less than the 5850. It moves downstream in the cost. They've changed the numbering scheme so that we have 6950 as the new mid-range. So, and now we're already on the 7000 series. The reason I've told you all this is because the next Xbox 720 is going to have the Radeon 6850 inside of it.
Oh, fine.
So we're going to get the video card mid-range item that's slower than last generation's mid-range item, which is not even current generation, in the next generation console.
Yay.
Right. Awesome.
Got all that?
So they must think they've hit the peak of rendering then. It must just be something like performance that they're trying to increase.
What I think they're thinking is that because they can write the games to the metal, which they can do without an API layer, that they can extract more performance from it than, say, a PC gamer would. But I still think that I would rather they stick a 5850 in there than a 6850. I mean, at least the 58's faster.
David, I will stab you in your sleep.
No, I will stab you because you're too lazy to even come over here.
He means in your butt.
With my penis.
No, that's what... That's what John would do.
No, actually, Alhan's threatened that. So,
No.
Jesus Christ!
On to the final point. What are you playing now, Christopher?
Guild Wars? That doesn't count.
Why doesn't it
count? Because it's been out for forever, and I'm waiting for Guild Wars.
So why the hell are you still playing it?
Because I has the guildies. And they're still putting out new content for it.
Is that what the kids are calling it now?
Winds of the current Guild Wars storyline with Guild Wars Beyond is ongoing. Is it Friday? It is Friday. It came out today.
It's Friday.
You play it for the ongoing MMO content.
Gotta get down Friday. Sorry.
You're welcome, thank you, Jonathan.
So you're playing for the ongoing social content as well as the gaming content, which is coming out in trickles, correct?
Yes.
I have a friend who's still playing it pretty devotedly. I played it for a certain period of time, but MMO structured games just don't hold me for very long.
It's really the community that makes it. I would imagine any MMO is pretty much the same. When you run out of content, what's left? You've got the people who you play with. If you remove that, then I mean, you know, there's nothing.
I played a whole lot more Modern Warfare 2 when I started having friends play with me.
Oh, hold up.
So, Patrick,
yes.
What are you playing?
Oh, what haven't I been playing? One of the games I've been playing lately is a game that I love very much. I may have mentioned this in the last podcast. Bit Trip Runner.
Seriously?
Yeah, no. It's a really, 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 really creative game with very simple gameplay, but it's actually very hard. But it's got a really, really innovative play style. Like, the use of music is really, like, very creative, and it's just fun. And I want to say it harkens back to an older era, but that really sounds like bullshit at this point in time. It's more just that it has a very fun core gameplay, and it just executes it really well. And, you know, as a music guy, I really appreciate the way they've handled music, and it's, you know, I have another friend that really likes it too, but yeah. But that's one of the games I've been playing. Another one of the games I've been playing is obviously Skyrim, because, you know, it's Skyrim. But mostly you'll notice that these games, Skyrim and Bit Trip Runner, are the games that I got for Christmas, and I'm still basically trying to finish my Christmas presents list, which is rather large. There are lots of games that I still have to get through that I got for Christmas, so good year, I would say.
David, your du jour at the moment?
Well, I'm actually playing two at the moment. Of course, Tor is number one, but I'm currently also playing StarCraft II at the moment. Replaying it. You're
nerd.
I will stab you.
Sorry.
Anyway,
you never listen.
No, but I'm currently replaying StarCraft II for the moment just because, well, it's been a little while, and I had room on my computer to reinstall.
Didn't you say the last time you played it was before you built the computer?
Yes, it was before I built the computer, and my last computer could run it okay, but it was clunky, particularly during the cinematic scenes. This baby runs it without a sweat, and it's gorgeous in full 1080p.
And you chew bubblegum.
No, I'm done chewing bubblegum, because that was just sad. Never speak of it again!
I will never speak of it again. Ever.
Good.
So, I have two games I'm playing right now. I'm replaying the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 single player on a more evaluation, trying to see what I didn't catch the first time. But the thing I've been really enjoying lately is Just Cause 2. Now, it's true, Just Cause 2 does not have the stabbing in the neck stuff you can do from Assassin's Creed. I do miss that. But Just Cause 2 has, you know, things that usplode everywhere. And you can parachute. You can, strictly speaking, travel anywhere in the game volume. It's sort of like if you were running down the street in, I don't know, Call of Duty, you can't just, like, climb up into the air. Well, you can in Just Cause 2. And it's also happening on a tropical island, which has every type of thing you could find in a tropical island environment. You know, snow-capped mountains, marsh bog areas, gorgeous beaches, lots of water to swim in,
but,
clear water.
But why? Just because...
Oh,
I also you mentioned Modern Warfare 3, so let me just take a moment and say, jock, you fucking jock.
La 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 la.
It's
there's a balance.
It's very visceral.
You know, I called him
if
a geek. I had to call you a jock now.
Of
so
swimming in water, though, well, that does remind me of something about Tor. Is that you still cannot find any water you can swim in Tor. All of the water everywhere in Tor, no matter where you go on every planet, is like. Maybe waist high at most.
So it's enough to dip your twigs in berries, but that's it.
Pretty much.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's kind of sad. I don't know if they're going to change that in the future, but it makes me sad.
Christopher?
Yes.
I think we're done.
Yes.
Mr. Bridgman?
It up.
Full impulse.
Full impulse.
Yes! Damn it, I was going to make that joke. I hate you.
Make it so.
Take us out, number one. Or whatever.
This has been this installment of Over the Fence. Featuring Patrick.
Yup.
Jonathan.
See ya.
And David.
Coconuts!
This is Chris, signing off.
The new kid. The new one on the block.
The new fuck up.
We haven't even done our hazing yet. Our hazing rituals. Our over the fence hazing rituals.
I think the whole cast was a haze. But I think it's kind of ongoing.
Yeah, I'm watching you, Christopher.
I'm not fazed.
Remember that. Chad doesn't matter because he sucks.
Oh, thank you, David.
Suck, fuck you. I'll be right back.
You gotta buy me dinner first, baby.
Not that way. Buy me dinner, and then we'll see where things go. Of course, he really wants to blow me, but there's gonna be a lot more work involved before that ever happens. I have such a dirty mind. And a stylus, which is not dirty.
Yes.
It is.
The night is young.
Oh, dear lord.
How is all Tor doing?
It's pretty good.
It's Torrific.
Yes.
We're adults.
Nothing you can do
We're
about it,
We're not allowed
it,
to have fun.
Come spend the night, Chad. I'll show you some fun.
Okay.
So anyway.
No, I don't.
What? You're in the... Come on. This is
I just
podcast.
Gave you the summary.
For adventure gamers.
It's like you had a chance to completely shake up the formula, and they didn't.
Law formula.
Like baby
formula. It's a formula.
Oh, God.
I love you.
David, I think, loves everybody, Christopher, so, you know.
I also hate everybody.
But he doesn't put out very easily, so I wouldn't get too excited.
I'm not worried.
He's supposed to say man at the end. I love you, man.
I love you, man. By the way,
Stanley chairs were shit.